This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna saying, by saving your cans, you help pass the ammunition. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Monday, December 18th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with startling news from the Western Front in Europe. We've been warned that Draft Board Chairman Raffaele will be in, and we'll bring you some great music, too. Now, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news brought to you by Popkins Furniture. Get your little boy or girl a rocking horse for Christmas, eh? Just $3.95. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Nazis have counterattacked on the Western Front in a blitzkrieg like their victories in the spring of 1940. Tanks and infantry are pushing Yank troops back in Belgium and Luxembourg. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report from Paris.
This is Paris, France. Correspondent Harrison Solisbury here. The City of Light is under a pall of fear tonight as Nazi panzers smashed through Allied defenses in a breakout from Germany 2 days ago. Lieutenant General Courtney Hodges' First Army is fighting to blunt this attack. It is said to be the greatest enemy blow struck against American troops in Europe. The Germans are throwing hundreds of carefully conserved planes and tanks and many divisions of 10,000 soldiers each into this fight. Field Marshal Rudolf von Rundstedt has achieved a penetration several miles into the American lines along an 80-mile front. He has reinvaded Belgium, 16 miles south of Aachen, and re-entered Luxembourg at two different points. One penetration has been made 10 miles east of Malmedy, a Belgian town just north of the Luxembourg border. Allied military sources will not give details about this counterattack, but First Army HQ does say von Rundstedt's forces are locked in a battle with American troops. The mood here is of great apprehension. The question is, will the Allied victory be reversed and the war far from won? In Paris, this is Harrison Salisbury calling the front lines. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in a forward Allied mobile headquarters in Belgium at Bastogne. There is great uncertainty here in this Ardennes forest town as German troops and planes are throwing everything at us, including the kitchen sink. Until the attack 2 days ago, the biggest worry GIs here had was if they'd get their Christmas turkey dinner. Reports coming in are bleak. Even as Supreme Commander Dwight Eisenhower assures us measures are being taken, doughboys here know they're in for a fight. We have seen waves of German planes pass over and shell this city. This is the greatest strength the Luftwaffe has shown since D-Day. It is said Nazi General von Rundstedt is attacking to stop the Allied winter offensive before it begins. But to the GIs here, this is a full-fledged offensive with all its fury. The Belgian people remember that it is in the Ardennes that the Nazis smashed through to France in 1940. Ominous reports of Nazi parachute troops dropping behind Allied lines are coming in, dressed as GIs to foul things up. Even as German tanks and infantry threaten to seal this city off, we are heartened by reports of General George S. Patton's Third Army smashing through the Siegfried Line to meet the German attack. In Bastogne, this is Max Jordan calling Hal Boyle.
This is Hal Boyle reporting from an American clearing station in Belgium. This report has been delayed by 1 day. We have news of a Nazi atrocity from this new offensive. Weeping with rage, a handful of American doughboys described how a German tank force ruthlessly poured machine gun fire into a group of 150 Americans. These Yanks had been captured, disarmed, and herded into a field in the opening hours of this offensive 2 days ago. Heavily outmanned and outgunned, this artillery observation battalion had no choice but to surrender. Tech Sergeant William Summers of Glenville, West Virginia, escaped the massacre by playing dead. He told war correspondents here that they were lined up along a road for an hour. Then they moved them into an open field and opened fire on the unarmed soldiers. Quoting Sergeant Summers, "We had to lie there and listen to German non-coms kill with pistols every soldier who moved or groaned." A grimy soldier sitting next to the sergeant ran his hands through his mud-caked hair and broke into sobs. Private William Jeem of Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, said he had never seen such a slaughter. They were cutting us down like guinea pigs. We just hoped and prayed. Fewer than 20 soldiers were able to escape. At a frontline clearing station in Belgium, this is Hal Boyle. Calling the Pacific, come in Pearl Harbor.
This is the Pacific headquarters, Pearl Harbor, Frank Tremaine here. 200 super fortresses struck the Japanese industrial city of Nagoya today, while Yank Leathernecks made sharp gains on newly invaded Mindoro in the Philippines. This as bloody fighting continues in Leyte, in the southern Philippines. Strategic Air Forces commander in the Pacific, Lieutenant General Millard Harmon, holds no hope that the B-29 raids will knock Japan out of this war. He fully expects to be fighting the Jap, not just next year, but in 1946. Flying from bases in the Marianas Islands, super fortresses bombed the Mitsubishi airplane factory. Associated Press correspondent Vern Hoglund reported from the Marianas that the weather was clear for the far-ranging B-29 flights. Of course, clear weather is a mixed blessing. It also means more accurate ACAC fire. Tokyo's influential newspaper, Asahi, views the invasion of Mindoro with trepidation. It warned that victory in the Philippines would give America full control of the military situation. Tank forces were 11 miles inland on Mindoro from where they landed 3 days ago. Engineers are readying airstrips, which would be just half an hour's flight to Jap-held Manila. At Pearl, then, this is Frank Tremaine speaking.
America's ace fighting pilot has bagged his 39th Jap plane. Poplar native Richard Bong shot down the fighter plane over Los Negros Island near Leyte in the Philippines December the 15th. Major Bong was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by General Douglas MacArthur after he shot down a Jap bomber and a fighter plane December the 7th over Ormoc Bay. The Senate voted 47-19 today to freeze the Social Security tax at 1%. Wisconsin Senator Alexander Wiley voted for it, Senator Robert La Follette against it. And the Senate defeated an amendment that would have authorized the St. Lawrence Seaway Project. The vote was 56-25. Both Wisconsin senators voted for it. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
I love it when I can do ads for little children, showing them what they should maybe get for Christmas. That is, if Santa Claus comes and they are good kiddies. For example, from Pumpkins Furniture, here's the gift for the kids. A solid oak three-piece pre-war chair and table set for just $11.95. Yes, here's that rocking horse I told you about earlier. For $3.95, a little boy or girl would appreciate riding all over the neighborhood on this little rocking horse. And finally, we've got a wood rocker for just $2.95 for a child to sit in while they're listening to the radio or studying for school. Sure. At Popkins Furniture, to make home brighter, get there tomorrow. Luke?
One of the first registered druggists to locate in Superior has died. P.A. Lignell died Sunday at his home at 1125 Hewitt Avenue. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Mr. Lignell was not only a committed druggist, Lou, but he was dedicated to civic affairs. He was a member of the library board and planning board for years, even after he retired in 1936. He was born in Åland Island, which is off the coast of Finland. He was born there in 1857. He was educated there before moving to this country. He opened his first pharmacy in Hibbing when he was just 20 years old. In 1899, he opened a store in Superior and lived here ever since. He was a widower, and his only known survivor is cousin Wormter Lignell in Duluth. The Lignell drugstore will be closed Tuesday from 1 to 3 o'clock to allow employees to attend the funeral at the Masonic Temple, Lou.
A Spooner man is in the hospital with two bullet wounds following an argument with his wife. Washburn County District Attorney Ward Winton says 50-year-old Mrs. James Straudinger shot her 54-year-old husband during a quarrel. Mrs. Straudinger was taken to jail in Shell Lake until her appearance before Judge Edward Ornick. It's believed that Mr. Straudinger will live. A soldier from Superior has been wounded a second time in the Battle for France. Mr. and Mrs. Bruce Campbell have been notified that their son, Private First Class Roderick Campbell, was wounded December the 2nd in France. Private Campbell was wounded a few weeks earlier in fighting and received a Purple Heart. He's a first aid man in the infantry of the 7th Army. Wisconsin electors in the Electoral College have cast their votes for Governor Thomas Dewey, but they disagreed over whether or not to attend President Roosevelt's inauguration. Capitol reporter John Powell has more.
The 12 Republican electors met in the state Senate parlor at noon, then elected State Senator Melvin Laird of Marshfield as chairman. After that, they cast their votes for New York Governor Thomas Dewey for president and Governor John Bricker of Ohio for vice president. Senator Laird read a letter from the White House inviting them to the January 20th inauguration, asking for a reply. Several of them said it didn't sound like a good idea to spend Republican Party money to attend a Democratic affair. But former Governor Julius Heil said he was going. Mr. Heil told his colleagues that there is a question here of whether we are a divided nation or a united nation. Quoting him, "Our state didn't give its votes to Mr. Roosevelt, but the majority of the nation did. He's the president of our country," unquote. State Senator Edward Hilker of Milwaukee agreed. He said while the Republicans were on the short end of the stick, quote, "We are not poor losers." In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
There's no housing vacancies in Superior this year, as compared to 10% vacancies in 1939. The Association of Commerce reports that 350 new dwellings were added since that time. Superior has many more telephones today than it did in 1939. The Association of Commerce says in 1939 there were 7,750 phones, but now there are 9,550 phones that are in use. A veteran of the Pacific War is home for the holidays. Staff Sergeant Robert Tribby will spend his 21-day leave with his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Harold Tribby of Ogden Avenue. Sergeant Tribby left Superior with the National Guard in 1940. He hasn't been home for 3 years. He left overseas in April of 1942. He's a veteran of the Buna, Sador, and A-Tape campaigns where he served in the Medical Corps, Jack.
Welcome home, Sergeant Tribby. Glad to have you back. Thanks, Lou. Boy, away from home for 3 years. What a Christmas present for Mom and Dad Tribby. Well, let's check our forecast for this Monday night, December 18th, 1944. Some snow flurries tonight, folks. Nothing to shake a stick at, though, or a shovel. Tonight's low will be 15, with a high tomorrow near 25 degrees. Now let's hear from some good swing time music. Here's Abe Lyman and his Californians with For Me and My Gal on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Susie and Sam, they're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. And sometime I'm gonna build a little home for two, or three, or four, or more. In Loveland for me and my gal.
Abe Lyman and his Californians, with vocals by Bill Sherman and For Me and My Gal on station KUWS. Stuart Taylor Printing Company of Duluth has the most appreciated Christmas gift for the serviceman while he's away from home, folks. It's called Head of the Lake Servicemen's News. It's a weekly digest printed on thin paper so it can be easily mailed. Call Melrose 4421 for a free sample. Hi, Lou.
Youth vacations have already begun at Superior State Teachers College and the McCaskill School. Public schools and Catholic schools will be dismissed for the holidays tomorrow. Then it's back to school January the 3rd.
Oh, man, I used to love Christmas vacation. Snowmen, eating icicles, and building snow forts.
We'd always lose snowball fights because your snow fort would collapse on us. And you forgot that whenever you eat an icicle, your tongue would stick to it.
Ah, yes. Good memories. Oh, boy. Let's roll on with the music, friends. From the 1944 hit parade, this is Dolly Dawn and her Dawn Patrol. And there won't be a shortage of love on the Martin and McKenna Snow Fort Show.
Oh, there may be a shortage of sugar, of aluminum pots and such, but there won't be a shortage of love when we love each other so much. What if they have to ration out rubber we were getting from the Dutch? Well, there won't be a shortage of love when we love each other so much. Let the taxes rise, we'll economize, cut our budget in two. We can trade the car in for a horse or a bicycle built for two. We can still have a portion of moonlight that can help me look stars and stars. So there won't be a shortage of love when we love each other so much. Of aluminum pots and such, but if you love me, dear, as I love you, can't be a shortage of love. What if they have to ration out rubber we were getting from the Dutch? If we get chummy, chummy, say, pal, I'm no dummy, there can't be a shortage of love. Let the taxes rise, we'll economize, cut our budget in two. We can trade the car in for a horse or a bicycle built for two. We can still have a portion of moonlight that can help us look stars and stars. So there won't be a shortage of love, because I love you so. And you ought to know that there won't be a shortage of love.
Dolly Dawn and her hit, There Won't Be a Shortage of Love, I hope not, on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, did you see this little item about kissing being banned at Louisiana State?
Real newsmen don't read such nonsense as that.
Well, it says here the school administration at LSU has banned all kissing. Apparently, the university president is upset that co-eds were giving kisses goodnight in front of God and everybody outside the women's dorm.
I come in here and you two fellas are talking about kissing.
You mean you barge in here?
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Colonel Joe Raffaele. Good evening, Colonel.
Well, I'm here to pass the word that the sudden change in the war situation in Europe means more men will be drafted. We just got word on the QT from the War Department that the nation's draft quota will be increased next month from 60,000 men to 80,000 men a month. And it's all because of this Kraut attack in the Ardennes. Our boys are getting hit and getting hit hard.
Whoa, that's big news, Colonel.
And, by the way, real men don't talk about kissing to real men.
You mean men don't talk to other men about kissing women?
That's what I said. This is not something you talk about in polite company.
I don't think any of us think that this is polite company.
But this co-ed was suspended from Louisiana State for kissing.
Now, of course, I did see a few Frenchies kissing each other when we got word that World War I was over in 18. The men were kind of kissing each other on the cheek. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I really don't want to talk about this.
I mean, you know, this public kissing stuff. These people need to show a little more self-control. Before you know it, these free love people will be the ruination of all of us.
Kissing leads to the downfall of society?
Really, it's best that we drop the whole thing.
You get nothing but slackers when all they do is think about kissy face this and smooching that. You got a slacker society, McCorkle.
Play some music.
Right, I picked out just the number, folks. Here's Horace Height and his musical nights, and I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Another slacker song.
Sight and his musical nights with I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now.
Allow me to introduce our community editor, Harriet Farrig. She'll talk about community news, nothing else.
A little shy about the kissing thing, Lewis? All right, then. The Catholic Daughters of America Court Superior will have a Christmas tea at the Douglas County Museum. Head librarian Miss Lucille May will be the speaker. She'll talk about Madonnas.
Yes. And curator Gerald Stowe will serve the tea, yes.
Oh, Jack. Parochial schools in Superior have completed their Junior Red Cross campaign, and they have a wonderful 100% participation by all the boys and girls. Junior Red Cross chairman Mrs. L. Johnson says the school children raised $56.20.
This is such an exciting time of year. The Cathedral Grade School PTA is organizing a Christmas party Wednesday for the pupils. Mrs. E.C. Whitaker is chairman, and Mrs. Harubin is assisting. They'll sing Christmas carols, and the fourth grade will present the play The Christmas Fairy and Scrooge. And I'm told that Santa Claus will be there with candy for all the boys and girls. Doesn't that sound like fun, Lewis?
Fun and dignified. Thank you, Harriet.
The colonel's still out in the hall. He's grumbling to himself.
Well, stop playing kissing music and maybe he'll go away.
Oh, Lewis, you're so bashful.
Yuck. Here's Enrique Madura and his orchestra and Brazil from last year's 1943 hit parade on the Martin and McKenzie. Very fine music of Enrique Madeira and Brazil on station KUWS. Lou Martin is in with these news flashes.
From London, 1,100 heavy bombers and fighter planes raced from Britain to the flaming American First Army battlefront today. They smashed German railroad lines supplying the attack. From Washington, the Supreme Court ruled today that the forced removal of Japanese Americans from the West Coast in early 1942 was constitutional at the time it was carried out, but now they should be allowed to return home. The War Department already announced that Japanese Americans can return to their homes, Jack.
Thank you, Lou. Lou's pretty uncomfortable, Harriet.
I don't blame the man. You fill the airwaves with this filthy talk about kissing and...
Really, Colonel? Jack and Lewis were just talking about the students at LSU.
Oh, decent folk can't go anywhere without being besieged by outdoor kissing. But, McMartin, you got it right. I mean, You wouldn't think of kissing Harriet in public.
I wouldn't think of it.
He wouldn't.
Don't worry, Harriet. He thinks of the kissing part. He's really an old romantic.
Kissing this, holding hands that. Where's the decency? Dear old Mom's day, they wouldn't even show a little ankle.
Those are the good old days?
I mean, I'm not against smooching.
You know, there are other things to talk about.
The Colonel just said smooching.
Well, that's what we called it back in Blackjack Persian's army. Ah, smooching. The girls at a Paris cafe or overlooking the Montmartre.
Montmartre is what it is.
Well, that must be near the Montmartre. Those French women. The most beautiful women in the world.
Him?
The second most beautiful women in the world next to the American gal.
Next to your wife.
My wife.
You know your very own Smoochie Woochie.
Oh, yeah. Of course, affirmative. Come to think of it, I'd better be hitting the road. Mrs. Raffley has missed call at 7 o'clock sharp.
Smoochie Woochie, this is how far we've fallen in our discourse.
Stay tuned for The Shadow. Fibber McGee and Molly and Burns and Allen coming up, folks. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing. And Lou doesn't get smoochie woochie.
No, you'd be surprised.
I'm jealous. For Lou and Harriet, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.